The Cardinals find a hot start that quickly sputters out, Harrison Bader's shocking statistics, and now making a big splash in baseball, the Rona. Let's talk about it right here on the Four Seam Report. So welcome back, everyone. Before I get into the biggest news, because it's just splendid in the world. It's splendid around baseball. I cannot stress that enough. It's just so amazing how wonderfully entertaining and exciting everything is. I could not be any more sarcastic. Before we get into the specifics of all of that, I want to encourage you to share this podcast with somebody. We are gearing up now for what seems to be an even bigger following than what we expected. We have listeners in the United States, the United Kingdom, Sweden, even Ireland, the Republic of Korea. It's really spreading. We've got a group of listeners that's strong and growing, but there are people that are Cardinals fans and even just baseball fans that don't know anything about this podcast. Here's the thing, you do, and you probably know these people. So share this podcast with them and give them something good to listen to on their commute to work and back home, long trips, in the car, sitting at home. Give them something to listen to that you know they will enjoy. Share this podcast with them, and it's greatly appreciated. Also, give us a 5-star review on whatever service it is that you're listening to this podcast. Now, let's get into everything going on in baseball. To begin with, I'm going to start with the Cardinals. Now, normally, I start way back with all of baseball, and then I kind of focus in on the Cardinals throughout the episode and what's going on with them. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to talk about the Cardinals from the get-go, and we'll talk a little bit more about baseball as a whole later on. To begin with, we had a great start for St. Louis. The first series, it was kind of a must-win deal. I mean, it was the Pirates. They profile in the last 5 teams in ratings, most power rankings, I would say. Not a very good team. They're expected to be a losing team. And so we really needed to kick it off and win that first series. And we did. It was awesome. Jack Flaherty was incredible, just himself, awesome, as expected. The offense was not showing horrible production just yet. So I'm going to give you some people whose stocks are increasing, and then I'm going to give you some who are decreasing. To begin with, Tyler O'Neill. He has hit 2 bombs. And the home run production that we are needing is certainly coming from his direction. We need it from some other areas too, but really, really stepped up to the plate, if I can use that, and has hit the ball. And that's what we needed from some outfield. So, the rest of the outfield we'll talk about a little bit more, but his stock is increasing. Tommy Edman, who his stock increased enormously last year, through the beginning of the season, he's been great. I'm seeing some real hustle, and we love to see that just in his base running. Every part of the game that he plays, he's just an exciting player to watch. Very exciting and awesome to have on your team. And so, as expected, Tommy Edman doing really great. Paul DeJong is showing some real production at the beginning of the season. His stock's going up. Adam Wainwright, we were not sure what kind of pitcher he was going to be. I mean, he's nearing 40. You would think past his prime, always been at least at the very least a decent pitcher, at least the number 3 spot in your rotation, right? And we weren't really sure what he would be for the team this year, but he came in his first start and dominated. Awesome, awesome game. And so his stock is going up as well. We need that. And Yadier Molina, in one game, threw 2 guys out. I just, him and Wainwright, they work together. And you see that even in their elder age in baseball, still just absolutely killing it out there, both of them. Awesome stuff. So there's your stock going up on those guys, and obviously Jack Flaherty included in that. Now, the people that their stock is decreasing, let me kick this off with Carlos Martinez. In a word, horrible. Absolutely horrible. It's been hard to watch what in the world happened to him. We may talk a little more about that in a second. Somebody else that I really want to, I want to focus our attention on real quick, whose stock is decreasing, Harrison Bader. Virtually inexistent offense from Harrison Bader. And I'm going to tell you why, or I'm going to give you some evidence of how bad it is. Now, I know there's this argument. There's this argument that Harrison is an incredible outfielder, and he is. He is. And his speed is just like lightning. And it is. It is. Both of those things are true about him. However, how do you balance having that with also having horrible offensive production? Because if we're all being honest here, that's all that we've gotten from Bader since he's been in the big leagues. He can be exciting, and he'll show flares of power. He'll show flares of perhaps having a good average one day. He's never pulled it off, and his defense and his running has always been there. He'll make spectacular plays. He'll steal bases. He'll get pinched to run in tight situations, but his hitting has never been where it needed to be, which is why he got called back to Memphis last year for a stint. It was just unbearable for the team. He was a weak spot, a weak link in our entire team. Well, nothing has changed here. And I'm gonna give you statistics, clear and obvious, for why it doesn't work to have this guy who's an awesome outfielder, an awesome base runner, but his offense is inexistent. Why doesn't that work? Because in Harrison Bader's first 11 at-bats this year, here are his exit velocities. 61 miles per hour, 29.7, 79.1, 94.9, 50.5, 73.4. So that is one batted ball that had an exit velocity above 79.1 in 11 at-bats. I don't know how else we can put this. I would rather take my chances with Lane Thomas. I really would. Because we know that Tyler O'Neill is not a bad outfielder. He's had some tremendous plays. I mean, when he first came up, people were talking about him like Jim Edmonds can make those type of plays, you know, and we've seen a few of them, right? So maybe he's got some areas to improve, and he's certainly not Harrison Bader in the outfield. But for a team that is absolutely hurting on offense right now, and I'm going to talk about it some more, why in the world, how do you justify keeping Harrison Bader on your active roster? I just don't understand it. I really do not understand, or at least not in your starting lineup. At least not in your starting lineup. And we talked about it in the last episode. You're going to have to make early decisions. This is one of them that's going to have to come quick, because you're not taking Tyler O'Neill out. It's not happening. They're not going to take him out when he's producing or has produced some sort of evidence of an offense this year already. You're not going to take Dexter Fowler out because you're paying him too much. You need something from the dollars you're spending. So the odd man out is Harrison Bader. And the man in is either going to be Dylan Carlson or Lane Thomas. And this needs to happen quick. It can't happen soon enough unless Harrison just shows an enormous amount of improvement in the next few games. But why should we expect it when it hasn't come for the last 2 years? Why should we expect it? That's just where I'm at with Harrison Bader. Now, we will get into how everything changed when the Rona hit in just a minute. But first, let me tell you about Anchor. So we're rolling along through that Pittsburgh series, and you know, two out of three. I mean, that's, you know, that's good. Not a sweep, but that's good. Some really good offensive production through that. And then all of a sudden, we come to the series with Minnesota. And it was a train wreck. Carlos Martinez, who supposedly, you know, was coming back, had earned this spot. And he had some good production, you know, through the exhibition games, spring training games. I believe I mentioned it in the last episode, or maybe the one before that, that his velocity was not getting above 92 in any of his pitches. None of them was he going above 92. A guy who would regularly hit 98, 99, sometimes 100 with fastballs, now not one of his pitches can get above 92. That is a serious problem that at some point I thought it would show. And so in this first game, his first start of the year, he was horrid early and looking like the Carlos that we've known before. Early troubles, 5 runs off of him real quick. And after that, he kind of stabled out, sort of, I guess. And I mean, he didn't pitch that many innings, so it wasn't that good. But I mean, is it worth it to have a guy who pitches, you know, 3 good innings when the first inning or second inning before all that, he lost the game? It's probably not worth it, you know, and he never can settle down when he's starting. He doesn't settle down. I don't know if he honed all that into the experience of pitching when he was closing games out and it worked for him or what, but he's never been able to calm down and find a rhythm and pitch in a starting position role. And that's, again, what we're seeing this year, and it's just horrible. And so I think we could quickly see if he doesn't improve in this next start, we could see somebody take his place. We've already seen Daniel Ponce de Leon slip into the role of Miles Michaelis because he's shut down for the season. And he's having work done. And so we could see John Gant maybe slip into Carlos Martinez's spot because he has shown awesome production this year. And luckily, we're not hurting on pitching depth. And so that's always there with the Cardinals. That's a good thing. But then you have the lack in offense, of course. So Miles Michaelis shut down for the season. Big news. You know, we knew that facing the Twins would be totally different from the Pirates because they are a contender and they've got a monster offense. I mean, just backbreaking offense. But what was going to show is if the Cardinals' offense had the potential to carry them through a game or two when the pitching might get hit hard. Yeah, that didn't happen. It just did not take place. It showed much like the postseason last year, you know, the NLDS, wow, you know, rocking and rolling. We're showing what we can do with our offense. And then in the NLCS, just completely dropped off. That's exactly what happened in these first two series of the season this year. No offense. And you know, we expected that we might get hit hard because, like I said, the Twins' offense is perhaps the best in the majors. I don't know. At least I think you could say it was last year. And it's coming up against the back end of our pitching rotation. So our two worst pitchers facing the best offensive team in baseball, perhaps. It probably wasn't going to turn out good as far as runs scored against us. However, you would think that hopefully our offense would pick up the slack and be able to carry us. Well, it showed, folks. It showed, and it showed badly. It didn't happen. And yet again, we find ourselves yearning for offensive production. And all the while, there's a young man named Dylan Carlson, who I read has mashed a home run or two over the wall in Springfield, awaiting his turn to help this St. Louis offense. So all of this is going on when all of a sudden everything comes to a screeching halt. I mean, a real screeching halt. Multiple members in the Cardinals camp testing positive for COVID-19 directly after the Minnesota series. Already the Marlins have had a large outbreak and have not played a game since. To date, up to today, the Cardinals have postponed 5 games, which includes tonight. And, you know, they've tried to do doubleheaders, back it all into that, and they're continually now they're pushing things back more and more, backlogging games. And they've quarantined in a hotel this whole time. Adam Wainwright has been reduced to making videos of golf tricks and posting them to Twitter from his hotel room, and they're quite hilarious. I've seen 5 of them. I know that he made. Go back and watch those for sure. It's entertaining, but it's how bored they are. And Jack Flaherty had just a wonderful, wonderful, hilarious tweet that had to do with Joe Kelly. You want to go back and look at that. It's just hilarious. But they're spending their time with as much entertainment as they possibly can, locked in a hotel room, because multiple members of the team have tested positive for COVID-19. And what's unfortunate about this is until they have tested several times and the rest of the team is testing negative, they're not going to be able to do anything or go anywhere. And games just get postponed. And the more people that test or positive, the worse it gets. And so we don't know the state right now. I know there's been multiple members of the Cardinals that have tested positive, and sources say that the majority of these people are staff and not players. And you know, we hope that nobody gets it, but if the staff gets it, that's one thing. If the players get it, you're going to see the season cut out a whole lot faster. I mean, this explains that. And so they're quarantined. Players across the league are beginning to opt out of the season again. Yoenis Cespedes did recently. That's a big name. And so the fear is that players will begin to take off after that and begin to opt out as well. We don't know how this is going to go, but it is frustrating from a fan standpoint. I'm sure it can be even more frustrating from a player standpoint. You're actually involved in the middle of it. And this has all motivated Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, to make a bold statement issued to Tony Clark, president of MLB Players Association. He basically said to him that if players don't straighten up, the season is going to be canceled. And it's hard to decipher if this is just kind of provoking fear to action, you know, stoking kind of a fire in them to do better, and it's really a bluff, or if he's actually serious, he's going to cancel the season if something doesn't change. And so it's just a really tight situation right now, and it's day to day. Now, I'm going to read to you an article real quickly here. This is a Yahoo Sports article by Dan Wetzel that I read this morning. The title read, "A Disaster in Progress. MLB's 2020 season might depend on the next twist." You know, it's really horrible when, in order to make baseball entertaining and in order to get people involved in baseball, your only hope, instead of getting them to watch games, is to make a headline that is shocking and clickbait like this: "A disaster in progress. MLB's 2020 season might depend on the next twist." Dan Wetzel over at Yahoo Sports. So let me read to you some of this while I quit making fun of him. "The current plan, according to ESPN, for the coronavirus quarantine Miami Marlins is to have all of the team's infected players, coaches, and staffers board a few sleeper buses in Philadelphia, where they've been holed up since they began testing positive nearly a week ago. They would then embark on a lengthy, 17 hours at least, ride back to South Florida, which of course is about to be hit by a hurricane. They said the coronavirus would kill the summer movie blockbuster, but here comes something out of a Jerry Bruckheimer production for everyone to watch, free and in real time. A bus full of infected people in the middle of a global pandemic barrel into a natural disaster." When I read that, that's some dramatic writing right there. But it certainly, I mean, it's a real picture that he's painting here. "Maybe The Rock would drive the bus. Whomever is stuck with that task deserves more than just a Derek Jeter going away gift basket. In reality, there aren't a whole lot of good options for the Marlins at this point." And this is true. This is true. They're in a bad situation, and even worse than the Cardinals, perhaps. "Welcome to Major League Baseball's 2020 season, just over a week old and already teetering on the brink of collapse. If I could steal that line, that would be the central line in this podcast. So I'm going to read it again for you. Welcome to Major League Baseball's 2020 season, just over a week old and already teetering on the brink of collapse. It opened with grand hopes and much fanfare. Everyone was happy baseball was back, and everyone was rooting that a plan based heavily on personal responsibility and good luck would work. A 60-game sprint of a regular season, an expanded playoff derby, Mookie Betts throwing dudes out at third. That optimism lasted all of 4 days when the Marlins had a big outbreak, 21 members of the organization and counting testing positive. MLB is investigating whether it was the result of players not staying in the rooms and hitting a hotel bar and perhaps other places during a spring training series in Atlanta. No word on whether any Magic City lemon pepper chicken wings were involved. From there, it's only grown more chaotic, and this is where the Cardinals come in. The St. Louis Cardinals are now dealing with their own outbreak, which caused Friday and Saturday's games to be postponed and likely more to come. In total, MLB has had 15 games postponed, including 3 games scratched on Friday alone. On the plus side, 2 games were made up by switching opponents. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred has reportedly told union boss Tony Clark that if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, it could shut down for the season. And that's where the big news story is at. That could come as soon as Monday. Additional reports say broadcast partners have already been told to prepare for the possibility that they'll need to show something other than live games on that day. The concerns run the gamut from what the players are doing away from the ballpark to a lack of social distancing in dugouts, including the spitting of sunflower seeds and the exchanging of high fives, which MLB has prohibited. About the only good news is that no players from the Philadelphia Phillies who played the Marlins tested positive. That's encouraging, very encouraging. If these teams could be safe from themselves, then maybe this can still work. MLB is now proposing things like hall monitors and team hotels to keep the players in their room. That's sad. That ranks behind the Marlins' Corona bus driver in the race for the worst job in baseball, but still doesn't sound like much fun. Regardless, it should have been protocol from day one. That's a little arrogant. You know, I mean, let's just be honest here as I pause from reading this article. Nobody knows that much about this disease or virus, whatever you want to call it. Not even the professionals know that much. And I know this because their stories have switched consistently since it began. We don't understand this. Nobody completely understands it. And if they tell you that they do completely understand it, they are lying. And so really, baseball is sort of like a microcosm of what's going on in the entire earth right now. And don't be fooled into believing that it's just America. Yes, I mean, by data, we have the biggest amount of cases, but it's happening everywhere. There's lockdowns all over the world. People are protesting because they want to get back to work. It's happening everywhere, and nobody has the absolute answer on how to deal with everything right and make everything work. Why do we expect baseball to have everything perfect? That's just my two cents. Meanwhile, Milwaukee announced on Saturday, this is continuing his article, that center fielder Lorenzo Cain decided to opt out the rest of the season, which could signal a new wave of players who decide this just isn't worth it. To help make up for the lost games, MLB will now allow doubleheaders to be played that only last 7 innings. No word if they will feature mercy rules, postgame popsicles, or be contested in Williamsport. I don't know about you, but I'm sensing some aggravation and sarcasm in this article, perhaps. Continuing, there is no shame in changing course and trying to solve problems on the fly. Good on MLB for trying. It's all hands and ideas on deck at this point. Maybe things can steady and the season can survive. Rocky starts don't always lead to shipwrecks. Now, that's important to know. That said, it's fairly clear that the sport wasn't prepared in the first place, like anybody was. The plan needed to be better. Protocols needed to be more strict. When you can't make it a few days, let alone a few weeks before upending everything, then failure was inevitable from the start. Maybe everyone should have paid attention to the government of Canada, which reviewed MLB's return to action plan and declared that it would rather kick the Toronto Blue Jays out of the country than allow MLB games inside its borders. And we always come back to this. Canada is so intelligent. Canada gets it. Canada understands what's going on. Okay? Canada does not have the population that America does. Canada does not have the economy that America does. Canada may not be reporting all their cases like Canada should be. All right? And so let's not use Canada as like the moral and medical standard for everyone in the world, because I mean, I'll be honest with you, I know people who have lived in Canada that will tell you that their medical system is a joke. All right. And so I don't use them as like the moral standard, and neither should anyone else. The Blue Jays got deported to Buffalo, and while some will scream that the Canadians are too cautious about things, they actually aren't. First off, they have the virus fairly under control there. Canada's 6,100 active cases is equal to Delaware, despite having 40 times the population. And Canada accepted 24 hockey teams, but not one from baseball. It was the early warning sign that was ignored, because again, in case you didn't know and you're listening to this podcast, Canada is the moral center of everything. It was the early warning sign that was ignored, leading to lots of drama, potential destruction, and a bus ride from hell smack dab into a hurricane. Like it often is with big summer movies, sometimes you can see the plot twists coming. So these articles, there's truth in them, but there's also just the running line of arrogance and aggravation. Sarcasm lying beneath it all. It's clearly in this one. Evidently, this has gotten serious enough that it was reported that top broadcasting networks in the nation have been notified that they need to have alternative programming on tap as early as today. This is Monday that I'm recording this. And so the broadcasting networks have programs that they can use in case in the next 5 minutes, Rob Manfred informs them that there will be no season. That is kind of a big deal. I mean, that's a major step. They are actually preparing for the possibility of canceling the 2020 Major League Baseball season. And this is important for me to report to you and for everybody to keep in mind what took so much work to make happen might get shut down very quickly from an outbreak in two teams. One, our very own St. Louis Cardinals. It's a big deal. So here's my payoff pitch to you today. I want to make this one short and sweet. And I'm going to add in a little opinion here that's just my own aggravation. All of this is absolutely wild, like much of our world right now. From game one of the season, baseball, along with most other sports, has been unnecessarily over-political, aggravatingly political. There's enough of that outside of sports, which is why we enjoy watching sports, because we would hope that we can enjoy the competition together with minds that don't agree on everything. We can agree on this sport and enjoy watching it without the politics. We already knew that coronavirus would be a challenge to the season that we would have to come up against and face without bold political statements all over everything the entire time. And now we have a season that may or may not be in jeopardy. That would be a massive fail in every way if this season gets canceled. Throughout the world, and even in baseball, there's a collective desire for normalcy that I feel will never come. At least not in 2020. It's a different year, and we're in for much, much more craziness. I'm afraid we're in for some more rough days just ahead. But we'll be here with you for it all, to communicate, to analyze, and slam our heads against the wall in a group effort, if necessary, on the 4-seam report. We'll see you guys in the next episode.